It's time for your weekly dose of movie news, reviews, and the occasional rumor. Here's your host, Todd Vandenberg, Lee Vowell, and Rob Steele. This is Cinema Savants. And coming up in this week's show, so much stuff, including the question, is this week's show early, or is this really last week's show when we're just really, really late? It could be either. Ask Todd. He has the answer, and we'll get that from him some point during the show. But first, before we get to Ready Player One, which is inevitable, saw a story where screenwriter Gary Whitta, the guy who wrote Rogue One, he's rewriting The Last Starfighter. And it's a complete reboot of the series, which I think is a movie we all liked because it made sense back in the 80s. But I'm wondering how, since arcade games really don't exist anymore, how is this movie going to happen? Because so that was
set it in Japan.
Oh, well. I mean, that could work, I suppose. He is collaborating with the original writer, Jonathan Batul. I don't know how to pronounce that. There's too many vowels, and they're not in the order that I've ever seen before.
Personally offended by that, by the way.
Okay. Well, it only makes sense. My only thing for this is I think we should get Lance Guest to come back and play Centauri.
That would be fun.
That's all I've got for it. Anyway.
That was still the best inside joke ever. Thank you, Lee.
Moving on to a movie that I know at least the other two people on the show are interested in seeing. Ready Player One. It's the number one movie in the country because it was ready and playing, I guess. I don't know. Talk about it, guys. I know you both talk went to go see it.
Lee, you want to talk about it first?
Yeah, man, I have a little bit of a cold, but I'll get through it. So anyway,
just kidding. Actually, I do have a little bit of a cold, so I apologize for my sexiness. But I'll say this. I didn't have – I think Todd thought that the movie would not necessarily be that good, but I think you had lower expectations of the film. I actually really enjoyed it. I mean, was it still Hollywood kind of popcorn-y? Yeah, especially the end. Did they have any Rush music? And most of the music was, as we looked up, I think – probably on the show a couple weeks ago, it was really the music to the movie instead of most of it was not 80s.
It was a hits. Score, not a soundtrack.
Exactly. It was no Depeche Mode, no Rush. There was a Rush reference at the near the end of the film, which I thought was important. But
all Rush references are important, damn it.
Well, this one kind of fits. I don't want to give it away, but it kind of fit. I don't know if you noticed it, Todd, too, but it was up on the wall in the background, and it kind of fit with the whole scene. But at the end of the movie, in the theater that I saw it in, which was packed, there was a lot of applause, actually, which I hadn't heard in a long time in a movie, but people were cheering. I thought it was entertaining, which is exactly what it was supposed to be. I thought all the actors did a good job. I thought some of it was a little bit predictable. Like, you knew that the larger African American character was going to be a female. I mean, even if you didn't know that going into the film, it is. But I thought it was entertaining, which is all I really expected the film to be. I mean, the trailer kind of gives everything away. I mean, obviously, you know, going into the film that they're going to play this game, and the winner of the game, you know, gets everything at the end. And you kind of know watching the film what's going to happen at the end. I don't think that's a big surprise or anything either. But I still thought the process of the whole film from beginning to finish, I didn't think it lulled at all. I thought it was very entertaining, and that's all I really wanted it to be.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, and you nailed it. It's a big popcorn film. I mean, honestly, by next week, there are going to be large swaths of that film I really don't remember that well, because a lot of it is just things blowing up on screen. I mean, it's really entertaining. It's really fun, but that's all it's supposed to be. I mean, that's what the book was like. It's a summer read science fiction mashup of all these 80s references, and they did the same thing with the movie. I mean, it is not going to go down like Raiders of the Lost Ark, which is a popcorn film but manages to do a lot more than that. But, you know, and that's why I purposely kind of just thought, well, hopefully it'll be fun. And that's all I wanted out of it. And it is. It's a lot of fun. Is it a great movie? No. But it does what it's supposed to do. It's entertaining. It's fun. It's kind of predictable, but that's fine. Sometimes that's more than okay. It's definitely a fun movie. I can't imagine anyone going to see this and being disappointed because I don't know what they would have been expecting, you know?
You'd have to be a devotee to the book so much so that any movie would not have met your expectations, I think.
Yeah, but I've read the book. And, you know, there's no way you're going to translate a book faithfully to a two-hour movie.
Or it's any book,
gonna,
really.
Right, exactly. Well, and it's not that this book is that deep.
Yeah, I remember going to see Fellowship of the Ring, and it wasn't opening night. It was, you know, a couple days in. And the person in line in front of me had brought the book and said, damn it, I've seen it 5 times, and this time I'm going in and making sure they do it line for line. I'm like, no.
Oh, my gosh. That's
seriously? You need to calm down a bit.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen in a 20-hour miniseries. I mean,
just now, you could imagine like my letdown of seeing Ulysses on the screen. Oh, my God. but I can say... I don't know if you had one particular favorite moment of the movie, but the Chucky thing was amazingly awesome.
The Chucky thing was great. My favorite moment was any scene with the Iron Giant, because that's one of my favorite movies. I thought that was really fun seeing Iron Giant go into battle. It was nice to see that wasn't just some little, oh, we'll put in a blip of him running into battle, and that's the last you see of him. So there's more... there, so that
it was an important character, actually.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of really ooh, that's so cool moments. Like I said, it's fun. It's not going to make my list of the top 20 movies of the year. I mean, it's almost not there already, but yeah, it's a really fun movie.
with lots of 80s references, right?
Yeah,
still.
I mean, there's tons of 80s references. The music.
Yeah, there are tons.
The score is 80s-like as well. And I think they do a good job with the score. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's entertaining. It's an entertaining film. It's not as good as Black Panther, which is also an entertaining film, but it's...
Exactly.
Still worth seeing at the theater. I think it's definitely it's a movie that you should see, that one should see at the theater.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, because it's part of the theater-going experience. It's not, oh, look how big the image is, because... Most people now, depending on where you sit in your living room or whatever, the image is bigger than it would be if you're in the movie theater in a lot of cases. But it's that experience of seeing it with a bunch of other people. And, you know, unless you've got an applause track in your home at the end of a movie, you don't get that. Like you said, it's like people are applauding at the end. I mean, and that's a big part of it, is that crowd reaction. It's not just, oh, look how big the image is and how great the sound is. You can replicate that at home. But unless you bring a bunch of people over, you can't replicate that audience experience.
It just doesn't work that way. Homes aren't built for that. Now, I mentioned the 80s thing. Did you guys see what happened to Corey Feldman?
I did. It's such a sad life he's... turned out to have, isn't it? It's
just a bit. He was stabbed this week, in case you missed this. Someone distracted his security guards, pulled him out of a car, and stabbed him with what he calls, and I'll quote, something.
Is it just me, or does Conor McGregor really need to be in prison at this point? You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's pulling people out of buses. I'm just kidding.
We needed a UFC reference. We haven't had one of those yet.
Exactly. How good are his bodyguards if they can be distracted and allow that to happen?
Well, let's see. He's not making near as much money as he used to, so my guess would be about as good as a movie I'm going to review later.
I'm wondering if these are Jason Momoa's bodyguards. Or I'm sure you guys have seen that shot where he's walking with two bodyguards and...
Hobbits? Wasn't he walking with two hobbits?
That's about what it looks like. It's like, okay.
Of course, he's a big dude. But yeah, surprised Corey Feldman can, in all honesty, can afford a bodyguard at this point.
Yeah. And it is sad. Hopefully things, at some point, don't things have to get better for this guy? I mean, geez.
He has to put himself in a position. Yeah, he has to put himself, and I don't know him, obviously, but it seems like he makes choices that probably aren't in his best interest. So, you know, hopefully, this is totally not his fault. Seemingly, it's not his fault, unless it's like a Robert Downey Jr. thing. Not Robert Downey Jr. What's the guy, the talk show host who faked his own, got beat up in the bathroom, and then basically Morton Downey Jr. But unless it's one of those things where it's like he totally, you know, faked it, which I don't think he did. It's just one more step in this whole process of what the last 20 years of his life is just very sad.
Robert's twin brother, Morton.
Yeah, Morton. Wow. be an interesting conversation.
Right. Moving on, there was a big thing made, a couple of weeks ago, about Steven Spielberg saying Netflix shouldn't be allowed to get Oscars. Now, Netflix does make a bunch of movies, but they're kind of made for TV movies, since that's where you get your Netflix. Or computers, fine. Do you think they should be, you know, Oscar-worthy movies? Or worthy of getting an Oscar, I guess? If you're on Netflix and not in a theater?
And that's a good question. No, I mean, it's because I'm trying to think of a Netflix film that... could they also put them in a theater?
I mean, I guess
that's what I was thinking too. So in that case, if it's a theatrical release, to me, it seems okay if they're nominated for, if it's only shown on Netflix, which you can only watch on your, however you watch Netflix, then I don't think so. I think it has to be a theatrical release. Still follow the same criteria, you know, release. And
that would make sense. Otherwise, then you're going to get your made for TV movies getting nominated and. Actually, when was the last time you saw a made-for-TV movie get that was worthy of getting nominated for an Oscar? Yeah, I can't come up with one.
Yeah. Todd's falling off. Todd's looking it up. Todd is making a TV movie right now.
They have to be released. They have to be released theatrically. I mean, that's part of their rules. You know, within that year. So that would kind of say that. But, I mean, just because of that, any film that Netflix puts out that wasn't released theatrically, it's not eligible anyway. So I don't really basically he's saying if it's a Netflix movie, I don't care if it comes out on a screen. Right? That's unless he doesn't realize that maybe some of those Netflix films were released theatrically.
Maybe, because Amazon obviously makes films, good films.
Sure, absolutely.
Theatrical releases, and you don't...
Yeah, like the guy who won Best Actor, that was from an Amazon film a couple of years ago. Blatant robbery of Denzel Washington, by the way. But anyway, you know, Beasts of the Southern Wild, that's a Netflix film. You going to tell me that's not one of the best movies that came out that year? Yeah, it's so, I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, if it meets the criteria, if it was released theatrically, it's eligible. It's almost like he's afraid of it. Or maybe it's just like, I need a deal with Netflix, which, of course, he doesn't need any deal. he can make awful movies and make money, which he's just released a really fun movie and is going to make a lot of money on this one. So it just seems really strange. It seems like a very reactionary thing. It's almost like some film producer back in the 20s thinking, oh, my God, talking films, this is awful. Dude.
I think they had a problem with talking films. And, ooh, shouldn't be eligible. And everyone went. Really?
Yeah, sure? I mean, it's such a reactionary stance. It's really strange.
Baseball players are not allowed to take steroids. You can't have, you know, Netflix films being nominated for Oscars. It's a wacky world we live in.
That's a little different, though. That's not cheating. Whereas, you know, Netflix, if it's released in the theater, it seems like they would have every right to be nominated for an Oscar.
I mean, honestly, clearly he hasn't seen Bright, because if he sees Bright, all his fears will go away.
Because if it gets nominated, it's not going to win.
No, that's hilarious. Bright nominated.
No.
Razzies, maybe.
I thoroughly expect that. Moving on. not Danny Glover, Donald Glover, which is different. Was attached to a Deadpool TV series that FXX was going to do, or FX, or Fox, or somebody. Thankfully, and I'll get to this, thankfully it's fallen through. mainly because I found it had, there were a lot of people who said, you made him too black. And I'm like, wait, what? No, that has nothing to do with why I'm not interested in it. It's because they were going to make it look like Archer, which, if you haven't seen Archer, is that mid-80s somewhat augmented He-Man style animation. And no, don't do that. It would look horrible.
And it works for Archer. But yeah, that seems really odd for Deadpool.
No, don't do that. Speaking of Deadpool, they released a few more casting notes. In the background of when Deadpool says in the trailer, I'm creating an X-Force. And in the background, there's a guy named Louis Tan, who is an actor I've seen in a bunch of stuff. Asian dude with, go figure, black hair. That's going to make sense in a minute. He's playing a character named Shatterstar, which, if you know him from the books, Shatterstar is a, and they make jokes about this, painfully white guy. I don't mean they color him in with the with the tan crayon. I mean they just leave the page white for this guy. I mean, and they make jokes about it, with extraordinarily long blonde hair. Now, I tried to put this blonde hair on Louis Tan, and no, Photoshop said no. It wouldn't even let me finish clicking the, yes, put it there. No, put it there. But the program crashed. Don't do this. It's not going to work. Makes, I understand, you know, if you want to gender swap. So this was a character you could gender swap because I thought he was a woman for the first three books that I had him in. No. Don't.
Painful.
But speaking of the X-Men books, they've had a bunch of changes to the X-Men movies. The Dark Phoenix movie has been pushed back from November 2nd to Valentine's Day 2019. the New Mutants movie, right, was supposed to open next week. It has been was originally pushed back until February 22nd of next year. Now it's pushed back again to August 2nd of next year.
Always a good sign.
Yeah, it is.
We could watch it next week or 18 months from now. Holy cow.
18 months. They could remake it twice.
I think they're trying to, actually. Originally, they said, we're going to add a character, which just sounds like a bad idea. Now I've heard they're adding up to four characters to this movie, which I'm like, just go ahead and refilm it. Just scrap it, start over, or make a sequel.
You're right. Or sell it to Amazon or Netflix as is, and then just do a different one. I mean,
you've already got this far.
Netflix will buy it. They buy anything like at this point.
This would be the great segue to Don Quixote, by the way. But
it could be. But we'll stick with Marvel for just a few minutes because there's more X-Men stuff, unfortunately. And this is where it gets really confusing. In the Dark Phoenix movie, they finally revealed who Jessica Chastain is playing. And a lot of people thought it was going to be Lilandra, who was an alien character that fit in with the Dark Phoenix storyline from the books. And she's not. She's playing a character called Miss Sinister.
Oh, interesting.
There gender was a swap. Gender swap. It was Mr. Sinister, which kind of rhymed and kind of made you think, ooh, it works, except not really. Kind of a crap rhyme in the book. Now it's just Miss Sinister.
Miss Sinister.
Who, incidentally, was also supposed to be in the New Mutants movie as Mr. Sinister. Played at the same time, played by Antonio Banderas, which confuses the crap out of me because I don't think that works. I'd like to be making this stuff up. I'm wondering if they talk to each other, you know, because it's the same universe, allegedly.
Well, no, it's not remotely the same universe. They prove that every time they release another movie. They don't know what the hell they're doing.
This
sale of Fox cannot possibly go through fast enough. Clearly it hasn't, but
the only way to redeem the X movies to me is to completely reboot it with Marvel in control, or, and I'll give them this just to see it, have Danny Elfman play the villain Arcade. I would go see that because I've been waiting. I cast him as Arcade in 1989 and said that would be cool. But, you know, no. What they're doing now, no.
Haven't they treated like all their Marvel properties like basically they just throw them all in a bus, and or it's like Speed, you know, and they just
whoever they falls off wrench, the bus first.
And they put a wrench down, so they've got the accelerator locked down, but there's no driver. So it just goes all over the place erratically. People fall out. People will jump in, obviously, one or maybe four. You never know when the hell they'll stop. It's like, man, they are just so clueless is what they're doing. It's amazing. And then every once in a while, it's like they manage to latch on to something like Deadpool, but wow.
Yeah, that stop. Meanwhile, in Marvel movie news that makes sense, the Captain Marvel movie is supposed to take place back in the 90s, which means we can have some recurring characters. So Clark Gregg is coming back as Phil Coulson.
Triple woo.
And I'm not sure how you're going to feel about these. Because the alien race, the Kree, are so involved in this, Digimon Hwansu, however you pronounce that, he's coming back as Korath, and Lee Pace is coming back as Ronan the Accuser.
Yeah, I think that's great, because they really didn't do that much with Ronan when they had him, so I think that's awesome. And he ain't coming back from the dead, because this happened 20 years ago. So,
ta-da.
Yeah, I think that's great. But Clark Gregg back in the movies, honestly, I think that's awesome. That makes me want to see this. I was really looking forward to it anyway, but now it's like, you know, can't wait, because it'll be so cool, because he'll be such a fanboy, and it'll be fun.
And I've liked Hwansu and everything I've seen him in, so I think he's, you know, anything he would play would be entertaining to me.
See? There we go. Go see Captain Marvel when it comes out. What? That's next year, isn't it? I think.
I believe you are correct, sir.
And although later this year, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yes.
And a phone. But that's okay. I just put mine on silent before the show starts because, well, you know.
If that was anyway. Evangeline Lilly, whoever's phone that was, you should have answered.
Ah.
Yes, it was the Wasp. It was not my phone.
Anyway, Ant-Man and the Wasp is undergoing reshoots in Los Angeles because they test marketed the original opening scene, which they shot in South America, and people went, where the hell is that? So they're reshooting it in L.A. I'd like to be making that up. That's kind of sad, really.
What? That seems strange. What difference would it make?
I don't know. I just pass along the news.
Is it supposed to take place in Los Angeles? And like you're supposed to know, oh, that's what that is? I mean, you CGI that. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it must be a really boring scene if people were wondering. Were people sitting there really thinking, it's like, where is this? I mean, must be incredibly boring if that's what you're focusing on. It's like, I can't place it. I'm not sure. Is that Paraguay or Uruguay? I can't figure it out. Bizarre.
Let's see. News out of the Doctor Strange camp. Even though they do not have a date for the sequel yet, they have already decided that the villain is going to be Nightmare.
I got a date for the sequel. Ha ha ha.
There we go. Mission accomplished then.
Oh, release time. Never mind. Sorry.
Ah. They haven't released your date yet. She's still being held hostage in the underground lair where Spider-Man must rescue her in the sequel.
Oh, I was just thinking of probation, but anyway, that works too.
Spider-Man 2, prom. Anyway.
Totally.
It makes sense to me.
It does. Homecoming, prom, graduation. There you go. There's your trilogy. Done.
Now, wanted to ask you guys about the upcoming Avengers movie. Because the more I see the trailer, the more I realize that Thanos could really not, that didn't have to be a CG thing. They could have saved money. And I honestly mean this, by getting Glenn Jacobs to play him. If you don't know, Glenn Jacobs is Kane in the WWE. And give me a reason why that couldn't work. Because the guy, I can't remember who they have playing him. It's the same guy they have playing Cable in Deadpool 2.
Josh Brolin.
Thank you. Someone who is, Josh Brolin doesn't impress me.
Oh, I can't. I think he's, I don't know how good he's going to be in this film, but Brolin's a great actor.
Well, he's
Brolin is excellent. I'm looking forward to it.
I have not seen him in anything where Glenn Jacobs couldn't do a similar, if not better, job cheaper.
Wait. Did you see Men in Black 3?
Didn't like it.
But you didn't think Josh Brolin was awesome in Men in Black 3? I mean, the movie has tons of problems, but dude channeled yes, Tommy Lee Jones. He's awesome in that. I mean, he's going back to your main point, though. Yes, Glenn Jacobs could play Thanos.
I mean, all you'd really have to do is put an extra chin prosthetic on him, and there you and paint him purple. And there
I don't think he brings. I don't think he brings the effervescence and the bubbliness that Brolin.
Yeah, he is a very light, frothy kind of player, isn't he? Oh my God! Right.
Oh, incidentally, the Russo brothers have said that the fourth Avengers title would be a spoiler, which is why they haven't released it yet, leading people to suspect that it's called Avengers 4, Everyone Died in the Previous Movie.
Yeah, everybody's dead.
Although, good news from the Marvel front, and this is really weird because I thought this already happened. Remember the thing we talked about a couple months ago about the Saudi Arabia's theaters opening again, and the first movie they're getting is the Emoji movie. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it hasn't happened yet, and they've decided to not get the Emoji movie. They're going with Black Panther instead.
I saw that story, and I think I'm pretty sure that the Emoji movie thing did happen, but that was like a parents, like a family thing that they were doing. But I don't know. It's kind of confusing. Regardless, it's a heck of a lot better choice because now they actually have a movie to watch. So congratulations.
Yay. Good thing. Although I did read where they are going to segregate the theater with men on the right and women on the left. I'm not making that up either.
I was thinking they're segregating African Americans from Saudi Arabia. I totally missed that point for some reason. But so the Emoji film, they did a family thing. Is that what you're saying?
They released Emoji. It was like supposed to be the first movies shown in Saudi Arabia cinemas. Period.
I remember us talking about that. But
they chose the Emoji movie and Captain Underpants. Those were the two movies they were showing. And the Emoji movie got the big play because earlier this year, the Emoji movie was shown on one screen.
Ah, okay.
So apparently this is
but the rest of them
release as opposed to. So that's the deal.
I must have misread it because I thought the first wide showing in Saudi Arabia was Call Me By Your Name. Totally missed that somehow.
Because that's a joke. That's going to go over well.
I agree.
Well, okay, is the sequel to that actually being called Call Me By Your Other Name or Call Me By Someone Else's Name? Or have they named it? Because they are making a sequel to it.
Yeah, which would make sense if it was in the future. It's like they did with Before Sunrise. Could work the same way.
I just hope Blondie is on the soundtrack. That would be great.
Let's see. Other news. Zach Penn did Ready Player One, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
So did Sean. Written, but then he got CGI'd out. He was Chucky.
Zach Penn has written an adaptation of Rom Space Knight, which was supposed to be done for Allspark Pictures and Paramount. And the reason I bring this up is because this, as much as I enjoyed Rom back when it was a comic book, this story
was
has
a
been
rom-com?
On again.
Is that what you're saying? It was a rom-com at some point?
There we go. It's on again, off again so much that, you know what, one more strike against one more story like this, where it's on again, off again, and you're just going to be banned to the show until you have an actual trailer. That's the rules of the show. You've done entirely too much. Moving on from that, the only DC movie news I have this week comes from the Aquaman camp, and people have asked director James Wan why there is no Aquaman trailer yet, and he says because the movie is filled with visual effects and they're not ready yet. And wouldn't it be kind of cool to go see a movie that didn't have a trailer, where you could go in with absolutely no expectations? Which made me kind of go, oh, you screwed it up that much. Wow, that
would not be a surprise.
No. Let's see, other trailer news I've got. The Predator trailer is coming sometime this month. No idea how that's going to turn out. And you mentioned Don Quixote.
No, I don't think you're right. You're talking about the Sandusky film on HBO, right? No, it's just a joke.
Ooh, ouch.
That's not coming out in theaters or a trailer. That's the whole thing coming out. And
oh, good. Spielberg won't be upset if it gets nominated. Oh, he will be if it gets nominated for an Oscar.
Right. Because it's a hobo movie. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah, Don Quixote's trailer, the Terry Gilliam version starring Jonathan Pryce and Kylo Ren and his mustache. did you guys see this, and what do you think of it?
Yes, I'm there. First of all, I've been waiting for it since it was 20 years ago, whenever it was made. And it was like, it's almost, that first thing was almost like, what's the movie they made, the documentary they made about Apocalypse Now? And they made a documentary on just how weird the whole scene filming that movie was. And they made a movie about the Don Quixote thing, too, as well, which, gosh, that was, how long ago was that? That was a long time ago now.
That's 15 years ago.
Jonathan Pryce and Adam Driver, I mean, Adam Driver in the role of Toby, I think it's a fantastic choice. So yeah, I mean, I've seen the trailer and it's, you know, it's a Terry Gilliam film, so I would probably watch it no matter what. But yeah, I'm down with it totally. I think the trailer's fun, which
it should be interesting and different than I thought it was going to be because I didn't see the documentary stuff.
Lost in La Mancha, that was the documentary.
Yes,
that came out. Wow, came out 16 years ago. That's crazy.
They really should do it like Moonlight. They should have like three, because they've tried to film it three different times. They should do it like Moonlight and starts off with the young version, middle version, and then the older version. That'd be awesome for people who haven't seen Moonlight. It didn't win. Oh, it did win Best Picture. Sorry.
Yeah. Did it?
It may or may not have won.
We're not sure.
Spielberg hasn't told us whether it won or not.
It's a Netflix movie. It's not a
It's a Tarantino film, Moonlight. I had no idea.
That's well.
parts of it could have been.
Speaking of movies, that what direction? Did you mention a direction?
South, where the show's going.
South? South? You mentioned South. Let's talk about a movie I saw this week.
Oh, no.
I've got a lot of notes on this, and it'll save you the trouble of seeing. I think that Todd mentioned Pacific Rim 2 the last show, so I decided to see a knockoff that I didn't know existed called Atlantic Rim 2 Resurrection. Let's see. Is it a knockoff of Pacific Rim with monsters attacking and Jaegers defending a society of idiot people who haven't run away yet? Yes. But I almost like it in an MST3K kind of way, because that's where it is. It does start with a very faulty premise. The official description for this movie is, Los Angeles is under attack by monsters. Now, did you catch the plot hole in this? It's called Atlantic Rim, and it takes place in Los Angeles. Right. I chalked that up to a typo, because I was a little worried when I saw that the visual effects supervisor was Glenn Campbell, because I thought he was a country music guy and just a little bit. But, wow. Moving on from that, I was struck by how much it looked like a mid-90s NBC version of the Power Rangers. Because, you know, NBC had that little extra something for their CG back then. It starts out on a nice, sunny day at sea with a guy in a speedboat that has some equipment, which is really just a laptop, that will detect the monsters coming back through their sea portal. And you see, this is where the typo thing comes in, because the background for this guy, because he's this close to the coast, is Miami. I've never been there, but I recognize it from the CSI episodes. He says, basically, into his headset, the creatures are coming, the creatures are coming, to if by sea, et cetera, et cetera. And then he's headed for shore. Now, I can see the shore in the background, and we'll come back to him in about an hour's worth of this movie.
Oh, my gosh.
We immediately cut to some military guys in what I'm going to call the Magic Suburban.
And I'll get to that. And they're recruiting slash kidnapping the crazy doctor guy from the first movie, the one who kept saying, they'll be back, they'll be back. And no one believed him until now when they're back. Go figure. He has to reprogram the Jaegers, which are for some reason called armadas in this movie, even though an armada is a fleet of warships and this isn't, because the people who gave them the upgrade in this movie gave him a faulty operating system, and they need to go back to Python, the operating system, which is an actual Linux thing. Really? You're throwing a legitimate piece of tech into this movie. Sure. All the programming takes place in a bunker that they say specifically is 30 miles outside of Miami in the mountains.
That explains that question. Thank you.
Where, yeah, I asked Todd, because, dude, you've been to Miami. Are there actually mountains that are not on any map? No, there aren't. Okay.
Well, there is that part that's 10 feet above sea level. I mean,
that's what they were referring to, yeah.
Maybe that's where they put the really bad green screen elevator that they got from Space 1999, which came out in 75. Go figure. So what follows is, it's not good. We finally get to see inside the armadas, which look like the Iron Man 2 hammer bots, only tall. Their cockpit is large enough to film an episode of Eight Is Enough with the extras.
Eight Is Enough.
I don't know why. I was trying to come up with a show where you could tell that there's a little bit too much room in the cockpit. There's a chair, a computer bank, two ski poles, I'll get to those, and lots of dead space. So they launch
Dick Van
the
Patten
fight
as well. Dick Van Patten is also in there.
He's under the console making beepy noises.
He plays Python.
Yeah. They launch their three armadas to fight the creatures, and none of them seem to know how to actually fly the things. I don't know why. And none of them can do anything that a tank can't do, because they just shoot missiles. We've got missiles. Why did we build the big robots? They're not actually punching them. Anyway, one of the mechs gets knocked down, and the doc that they kidnapped basically earlier says, "I have to get there to fix it now." So, the 30-mile drive, because he's in the bunker, is done instantly in the magic Suburban. I'm still going to get to that in a minute, because presto, it's at the battle site, and the long overhead shot shows that they're obviously not driving over 30 miles an hour. Poof, it's there. And I especially loved how Doc and some of the military guys jumped out of the Suburban, and one of them pulls out a Glock and says, "I'll cover you." I'm like, now hang on a minute. You're finding a 30-plus story tall monster actively and ineptly being fought with giant robots, and you'll cover him with a pistol. Really?
Yeah, but it's a Glock.
It's a Glock.
That's different.
Yeah. No. Okay. So as they eventually make their escape in the, I'll explain the magic Suburban, because in this scene, Crazy Doc is in the back seat talking with the person that replaced him, who's a woman and an eventual love interest. Oh. He's in the back middle seat of the Suburban, and somehow she is in both the right and left seats, depending on the camera angle.
That's awesome. It's a rumble seat.
It's spectacular. Another aspect of the Magic Suburban is no matter how many dirt roads it uses, and apparently that's all they have in Miami is dirt roads, it magically gets washed between each scene. It's spectacular. They get there and it's dirty, and the next scene, freshly washed.
Well, we do have car washes installed at every intersection of dirt roads.
Ah, there we go. You skipped a bit. Did I mention that they defeated the big 30-story monster, which exploded into millions of tiny monsters that are now covering an oddly vacant Miami, and it's surprisingly mountainous countryside? There's lots of mountains in Miami I didn't know about.
Coconut Grove does have a ridge. It's about 24 feet above sea level, so there you go. Wow. That's probably where they were. Yeah.
Think of the slope.
Although Coconut Grove is never empty. I don't care what happens anywhere else. So that's a problem.
I'm hoping this information, Rob, is making you rethink about what you think about this film.
No,
24
not at all.
Feet. It's pretty hot.
Can I buy it? Is it available for
sale? Absolutely. It's on DVD at Walmart, $5, I think. You remember Speedboat Guy from the beginning of the movie?
Yeah.
An hour back.
Remember him? Yeah. At about the 1 hour mark, he pops up again, still not to shore, even though all this other stuff is happening. I could have swum it by now, but he hasn't. Anyway, he pops up again and is pretty much promptly eaten by a nondescript brown special effect.
Oh my god.
Wow. What a waste.
So the riptide was so severe, it held him back for an hour, and then he gets killed. That's sad.
Yeah. So, you know, summing up the rest of the movie, there are lots of errors all through this thing.
Wait. There's more.
The bunker that they're in, the last scene with the bunker, we have to get to the mech. So they run out of the room, and the hallway is inexplicably smoky. My guess is that someone rented a smoke machine. They hadn't used it and said, look, we paid for it. Use it in a scene. And that's why there's smoke in the hall. That's my theory. For there is no other explanation.
I have seen the film, by the way. And the whole scene is the Ballad of Sweeney Todd is playing. I have no idea what that has to do with.
Which at least it finally made it into a movie.
Don't get me started. Let's let Rob finish.
I'm almost there. Give me a minute. Mech flying, right? Flying these things apparently involves two ski poles that may or may not be connected to anything and a lot of facial contortions. And Miami is populated only by aliens, our heroes, and the wife and teenage daughter of one of the heroes who try to show us that Miami is dangerous when infected with aliens. Now, I didn't really have any story issues with this because Pacific Rim is doing the same thing, only with budget and actors. I did have a ton of issues with the directing, like the scene where the mom and daughter are trying to run away, but they keep grabbing each other and saying something like, they're coming, and then throwing the other person toward the aliens to get momentum to run away. And then they switch. So I actually had to look up who directed this movie, if anyone, because the credit for director was not in the film.
Not even Alan Smithy? Wow. No,
it's directed by a guy named Jared Cohn, who had previously given us such films as Little Dead Rotting Hood, Underground Lizard People, and the classic Halloween Pussy Trap Kill Kill. I got all of these from IMDb. I took a bullet on this one. I'm not watching the rest of those.
I am. My God. Wait.
Listen to the show. You can write them down.
IMDb. Why did you watch this film?
Because I saw that. Well, he did Pacific Rim last week. I said I'll watch a similar movie. And this wasn't. I might have actually preferred listening to that song from the Pacific Rim trailer again. No, wait, it's not that bad. IMDb gave this movie 1.7 stars, and I might have to agree with that, but in a fun way.
IMDb.
I laughed my ass off all through this.
IMDb gives Halloween Pussy Trap Kill Kill 1.5 stars. It's a 3.2 rating, so it's actually apparently better.
That is horrifying.
Members of the all-girl punk rock band Kill Pussy Kill must fight for their lives and attempt to outwit an unknown assailant after finding themselves trapped in a madman's maze, which is probably in the mountains of Miami. That would be my guess. That sounds awesome. And what's really terrifying about this, Rob, is I actually tried to watch Atlantic Rim, as in the movie that this is a sequel to, because it was on one of those subscription streaming things, and I turned it off after 25 minutes because it was so bad. So,
but that beat the Emoji Movie.
Congratulations to you, Rob. Well, that's true.
I watched it over 3 days, but yeah.
I can understand that.
Actually, this director is the grandson of Ed Wood, according to this website. So.
Can't possibly. Please. Actually, that would be fun.
Wouldn't be surprised at all.
Wouldn't you? Mm.
So speaking of absolutely crap movies, Sharknado is finally coming to an end this year with that franchise. What is it? Sharknado 5?
Sure it is.
I think.
Sure it is.
That's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
Spielberg, because he keeps popping up in this show, announced that Indiana Jones 5 is going to be the last one for Harrison Ford.
I thought you were going to say Spielberg was directing the next Sharknado movie.
Sharknado, I did too. That would be awesome.
Sure, why not?
What a letdown, Rob. Jeez.
But Spielberg does say that he's interested in continuing the Indiana Jones series, possibly with a gender swap to make an Indiana Joan.
Yep, Indiana Joan. J-O-A-N. And that's true.
Yeah.
It'd be.
And he even Indiana says Joan Jones? There's nothing wrong with that. No. And there isn't anything wrong with it.
No, but there isn't.
But maybe you just need a new storyline instead of, because Indiana Jones. It's like you could think of something else to have a character like that without it being an extension of Indiana Jones, right? So, I don't know.
Yeah, basically
Tomb
Raider.
Wasn't it called Tomb Raider?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah, there, yeah. So. Well, except her breasts were too small.
Yeah, that's true.
If people listening have missed past shows, go back and listen. I wasn't just being rude there. We talked about that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That was an actual internet troll thing for some unknown reason. Well, it's not unknown. They're just stupid and horrible people. Anyway.
Speaking of small breasts, James Bond. I don't
very
know why that's
small.
A segue.
He has very small breasts. That's true.
Future for the Jet Bond movies is kind of in question at the moment because MGM might be up for sale.
Not Disney again.
Well, Sony is said to be the big people, big group going after them, which would be weird. And it's kind of odd that MGM just purchased Epix, the movie channel, for like $1 billion late last year, and now they're up for sale. Huh? They say the Bond franchise is worth between $1 and $3 billion. Epix is worth $1 billion. So that's $4 billion. And MGM as a whole, $6 billion. Oh dear. That's it doesn't leave a whole lot left, does it?
Nope.
So moving on from Bond, the Terminator. Next Terminator movie is supposed to come out in November 2019. And it is going to have Arnold in it, who did have open heart surgery this week, but he's doing fine.
Yay, Arnie.
Amazon announced that their version of the Lord of the Rings series is going to run 5 seasons.
So they will do every scene in the book. Assuming that each season is like 30 shows.
Or something like that.
As long as it's well made. I mean, the length of the 5 seasons is fine. As long as it's well made.
Yeah. And actually, that's pretty cool news because it means they have a definite ending point, which they should. I mean, considering the material, right? But it means they have a plan. Oh my God, Fox, Warner Brothers, you might take notes.
Wow. Ashley Edward Miller has just finished penning the screenplay for a new adaptation of Red Sonja. And that...
Oh, not together. Oh, I just read that. I was so excited about Red Sonja and Silent Bob. Damn it.
I know.
Should have read this little script a little
bit better. I was really hyped for that, too. And is his name actually Edward? I mean, I hope his name is actually Edward. God, that would be so cool.
What?
My name. Hello. How are you? My name's Ted. How are you? Oh, my name's actually Edward
Ashley.
Miller.
Ashley. Anyway. Thanks. Bring up my speech impediment. Fine. Anyway, that's not the big thing that came out of this story for me. That was the big thing was that he just finished writing the script for the reboot of Big Trouble in Little China.
Ooh.
I don't want them to remake that. I liked it the first time.
Ooh. Yeah, but maybe more than 7 people.
The amount of Wisconsin in it. Anyway, we'll move on to that to some VR movies that are coming this year where you have to wear the VR goggles and everything. And a lot of these I don't care about. Mile 22, which is a CIA thing, and The guy who did John Wick is doing one, but it's not a shoot 'em up, so who cares? The one I might be interested in is a Jay and Silent Bob VR movie where you do the entire movie from the perspective of Bob. So Kevin Smith is not actually in it unless he's the one actually wearing the goggles while you do the movie. Any comments on that?
I could actually see that. It sounds disappointing. It sounds as disappointing as I was when I saw Phantom Thread and Daniel Day-Lewis never once said, "I drink your milkshake." That's my
thought on it. Right. I have no idea where to go from that. How about the Rampage movie, which is apparently coming up, and Uwe Boll, the director, says, "No, I have created a series of movies called Rampage in the early 2000s in Germany where they were released, and I'm going to sue this new movie for taking my movie's name and making a movie out of it about that video game that came out in the 80s.
I was going to say, it's like, really, dude?
I don't think he actually said that last bit, because then he might have actually caught on that, no, this came out first.
Yeah, that's... And there was a movie called, I think there's a movie called Rampage back in the 70s, too. It's not like it's a very uncommon term, so...
No. Could have thought this through a little bit.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like he did, does it?
No. But, speaking of The Rock, who is in Rampage, he's doing a Fast and Furious spin-off film called Hobbs and Shaw, which I assume are character names. I stopped watching Fast and the Furious at 2. That's coming out next year. And Fast and the Furious 9 is supposed to come out April 10th, 2020. And The Rock is only going to be in one of those two films.
Guess which one?
I wonder. Let's see. Other movie that's coming out this year. Incredibles 2, right? Because we've been looking forward to this movie since Incredibles 1. And they released a bunch of posters for it in the past couple of weeks. One of them is kind of cute with the whole family there on vacation wearing the Hawaiian shirts, but they all have tan lines around where their masks should be. That's cute. The other posters all show Mr. Incredible doing housework, mm-hmm. which is what the trailer showed. And this worries the crap out of me because I don't give a... I don't care at all about Mr. Incredible doing housework.
It's Mr. That's Mom. Not a movie. Mr. Incredible is Mr. Mom.
No.
You know you want that. You know that's what you've been doing.
I worry because I've seen the trailers and I totally agree. It looks like they're trying to make it too cute, especially with the baby, and they make the two eyes like, I'm not so sure about this. I don't need the smarminess and the sarcasm of the original or the first Incredibles 2. This one looks like they're definitely trying to make it too cute for smaller kids.
It's unnecessary.
And looking, is Brad Bird directing the sequel? Yes.
Yep.
So that's what still gives me hope, is because Brad Bird is still doing it. But yeah, I agree with you guys completely. These trailers don't give me any reason to want to watch it, which is really sad, because The Incredibles is the Fantastic Four movie that we never got. So it's, yeah, hopefully
it needs to be given to Fox so they can do it correctly. No. I'm kidding. I'm really, oh wait, Fox made the Fantastic Four movies, didn't they? So that would be bad. Wanted to ask you guys a literary question, because this came up this week.
That goes to Lee.
Have you ever heard of a guy named Hermes Gawar?
No.
I'm sorry, Imogene Hermes Gawar.
No, I don't think so.
I haven't either.
Nor I.
But Playground Entertainment spent a lot of money to get the rights to make a movie on the... I guess it's a classic novel, The Mermaid and Mrs. Hancock, which to me sounds a lot like the lesbian edition of The Shape of Water. or is that just me?
I'm there day one. Okay.
I have never heard of this story or the author or anything, but they're very happy they spent a lot of money to get the rights to it.
Are you sure that's not the name of the name of the documentary of the band Gore instead? Are you just misreading?
They threw an O in it. Go War.
Just to throw people off. They don't want too many people showing up.
Ah, actually, can you picture the Gore people going to see a movie called The Mermaid and Mrs. Hancock?
Yes. No, not really.
Now,
I changed my thought.
Can you imagine the people who actually know the book and went to it showing up and seeing a bunch of Gore people there?
Okay, hold on. I've got a cold. I've got a cough. I have to beam up.
That could be fun.
Oh, it was a coughing fit. That was hilarious. That was the best thought we've had on this show. Oh my gosh, that would be hilarious. I like the juxtaposition of people thinking, "Oh, I'm going to see one thing," and then they end up seeing, "Oh, here's a Marilyn Manson documentary." It's just kind of funny, you know, old ladies. Unless they're the old ladies from the Python thing where they're beating people up in the park, I can see them seeing a. Stop me. The show's off the rails. It's an hour in. I can keep going.
Okay, how about Robert Downey Jr.'s Voyage of Dr. Doolittle?
Huh?
Because, okay, so there's a bunch of casting news out of that. Here's a bunch of names I'm going to throw at you who are all doing voices of animals in this movie. Selena Gomez, Emma Thompson, Octavia Spencer, Ralph Fiennes, Camille Nanjiani, the guy from The Big Sick, whose name I can never pronounce, Craig Robinson, Tom Holland, Francis de la Tour, Carmen Ejogo, Marion Cotillard, Rami Malek, and just for fun, John Cena.
John Cena's in every film, isn't he? He's like an Easter egg in every film at this point.
Seems like it, yeah.
He needs to change his name to Chris, though.
That's true. But yeah,
Chris Cena.
He's apparently following in the footsteps of The Rock.
Yes.
Who's in every film that John Cena is not in. Which means that John Cena will be in the Fast and the Furious movie because The Rock won't be. So there you go.
That's the only way it can fit. Surprising.
Actually, it wouldn't be. So basically, everyone who is not in Isle of Dogs is going to be in the Dr. Doolittle movie. There you go.
Still can't find Isle of Dogs in the area, by the way. Or otherwise, literally, A1 would be there.
You're in Oak Ridge, dude.
I think it's just going
west of Knoxville. They show right films.
I think it's finally hitting a wide opening this weekend because it hasn't been down here either, which is crazy. And it's finally hitting the area. So I'm not quite sure why they did that, but yeah, let's open. And then let's go for 2 weeks before we have a wide opening. Very weird.
But, one scene wasn't centered. They had to refilm the whole thing.
That's what it was.
They're adding more cast members. At least six, including a gender-swapped silver person.
Oh, my God. Which would be very fun.
It could be, I suppose. Let's see, good news for this week. Just because... Have we had good news in this show? I don't think we have.
There was Ready Player One. We both liked Ready Player One.
We both liked Ready Player One. And Atlanta Crim 2 was awesome. Set in the mountains of Miami.
Hey, Todd, am I the only one with when Rob said that film and said how bad it was? It really made me want to watch it, to be honest. It was like, I really kind of see this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, see? Totally. Yeah.
Good Star Trek news. Terry Farrell, who played the original Dax on Deep Space Nine, got married to Adam Nimoy, which is Spock's kid.
How strange.
Just saw that and went, that's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool, but it's like, huh.
As opposed to the bizarre MASH trivia I found this week.
Oh, no.
It's kind of sad trivia, but it's weird. Colonel Henry Blake, right?
Right.
Who was in the movie and in the original part of the TV series. The guy who played Henry Blake, McLean Stevenson, in the TV series, died on February 15th, 1996. The guy who played him in the movies, Roger Bowen, died February 16th, 1966. That's just weird, isn't it? That the two guys who played the same character died within a day of each other? And could it be a conspiracy that has to do with OJ?
So that means in 2026, if anyone plays that character again, they're going to be very
Gary
careful.
Berghoff. Gary Berghoff will play him.
Middle, that would be awesome. But middle of February, he's going to be a goner. He's got 8 years to live. That is weird.
Okay. Finishing up the show because we have gotten so off on this, but that's okay.
No. We can't finish up the show yet.
I'm in Japan right now, actually. Or I'm in Korea, sorry. I'm about to say that. I don't know where I'm in Asia. They all look the same. I'm the tallest guy here.
I'm in Vietnam. No wonder you're not showing that dog movie where you are.
That's right. No, actually. But it is based on Japanese film, interesting enough. The whole thing is it's all dead now.
What?
What's that? What?
It's because you're in Korea and they ate the dogs.
Yeah. Ooh. No. You went I was just going to say I'm going to die over the Sea of Japan once the show's over, but I guess that's not going to happen. You went dark.
Okay, so I sent the two of you a link earlier this week.
Dark.
Concerning the first 3D cinema with an LED screen. I don't know if either of you even bothered to look at it. It's a 4K LED screen, which is almost 34 feet wide, almost 18 feet high, and is brighter by almost 10 times than any movie screen. So you want one at home? Because I want one of these at home.
So you've
not that it would fit in my home.
You got to be blinded.
The neighbors can see it through the wall.
Exactly.
I would only use this to watch old Randy Travis videos.
Wow. We have gotten off this week, haven't we?
Well, not yet.
Oh, geez.
Anyway. Okay.
That's all I've got this week. You guys have anything you want to throw in?
Yeah, I do want to mention A Quiet Place. Okay. A really, really good movie. And it's doing extremely well at the box office, which is crazy. I mean, it's early, but they originally projected maybe $20 million opening weekend. And then they had to bump that up because Thursday was really big. They did like over $4 million in two showings. Obviously, not just two screens, but they were. That was it. You know, it was just the typical Thursday night release. Made $4 million. So then they bumped it up. Well, maybe we'll do 30. Then they did $19 million on Friday, which, by the way, Ready Player One did under 7. And Ready Player One is a big hit. So now they're looking at somewhere around maybe $45, $46 million for a horror movie. I mean, that's typically doesn't happen. I mean, obviously it happened with It. But and Get Out, but this is just, it's got like 96 on the Rotten Tomatoes. I saw it. It's a really excellent movie. Takes some twists and turns that you don't anticipate because typically filmmakers don't have the guts to do that kind of things in their movies. So really, really good movie. Super cute couple. Yay.
The guy from The Office. That's about Pam and Jim, right?
It is about Pam and Jim, basically. It's just really, really good. Acting is terrific, which I imagine that Emily Blunt doing a good job in the role. Super creepy, scary film. Very, very good. And it's also really about being dedicated to your family, which is why he took on the job, which is why he was interested in doing it anyway. So
it's quite the third film awesome. He's directed, which I had no idea. Is it actually like, is it horror? Is it atmospheric or is it?
It's both. Okay. It's both. It's a monster movie, but you don't see the monsters a lot until later on, and you do get the monsters. It's not like, oh, we'll never show it. But it takes time. It's very suspenseful. It's atmospheric. It's scary, but it's much more of it's very tense because children are in danger a lot, and they're well played.
And the daughter's deaf, right?
Yes, and the daughter's deaf, and that's a key plot point. I mean, I'm not saying that was a spoiler. I mean, you figure that out really quickly.
Get that in the trailer.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, really good. So I'm really happy that this movie is doing well at the box office because it's cool when things that are well done find an audience. Because a lot of times that doesn't happen. I mean, we all know they're, well, you mentioned Big Trouble in Little China before. A totally different kind of movie, obviously. But I mean, that found practically nobody when it was first released. So it's really nice that this movie is making that's connecting with the audience, because it's really, really good. If you do not like scary movies, don't go see it, because it's really scary.
I do want to see it. The other thing about Krasinski is it's one of those things where, you know, and you hear, oh, this guy's a jerk. I haven't heard ever one bad thing about that guy.
Oh, yeah, so exactly.
It's almost like you want to. You want the guy personally, even though I don't know him clearly, but you don't hear anything bad about him. Nothing leaks out that, you know, this guy's really a jerk. He actually seems like he's the character on The Office as far as personality.
Exactly. Wise. Exactly. He does. I mean, that's one of the stories that came out about him, which is not a jerk story, obviously, because it's Krasinski. But he auditioned for Captain America. And he said, like, you know, he's all psyched. He's really pumped. This is going to be awesome. And he said, then he saw a picture of Chris Hemsworth with his shirt off. And he said, nope. So, and that was it. It's like, he's just nope, not going to do it. And of course, now he is kind of buffed out. I mean, not so much in this film, but still, because he had to, because he's done some other roles. But yeah, he's just seems like just such a super awesome, nice person and blunt. And, you know, it's nice when nice people get big success. But this guy, he's an A-list director now out of nowhere. Which is a really cool story, because it's a really good movie and it's making a lot of money. So it's a very cool story. The backstory is, but the movie's really good. But again, if you don't like scary movies, don't go see it, because you will be really freaking scared. Good and stuff.
I'll say this real fast. So a friend came over last night with Fiona, and we watched it's been a while since I've watched Empire Strikes Back, because Fiona hadn't seen it. And really reiterated just what a great, great film that is. Just amazingly great film. And to me, it's it's the best Star Wars film ever. But even if it weren't a Star Wars film, it would still be a great film. And it really made me look forward to the next step with Childish Gambino being Lando. I think that's really exciting, because I really like how they introduced the Lando character, and I can see Donald Glover Jr. playing that character really well. So, it was. I hadn't seen it in so long. I've seen it obviously many times, but I hadn't seen it in so long. It just kind of reminded me how great of a film it is.
And the real question is, how did Fiona take it? What did she think?
She liked it. I think she was tired. We didn't get done till like almost 11. So, but she liked it, and she's seen all the Star Wars films except for one, two, and three. She hasn't seen Return yet, but she hasn't seen 1, 2, or 3, because I don't want to. You know, I don't want child abuse. So, but she's seen 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So, or not 6, but 4, 5, 7, and 8, and she's liked every one of them. So, we'll watch Return probably in a couple weeks.
Cool.
Because all children should see the... Actually, I think that was something Mark Hamill said earlier this week, that the best way to watch the Star Wars movies is 4, 5, 6.
Yeah. But he's so good in the last one. He really... I mean, I know there was some weird stuff about it, but he was so good in that.
Yeah, he's awesome. And I mean, he's by far the high point. And I like the movie, but I mean, he's definitely the best thing in the movie. He's great.
Yeah. And a good note to end the show on. Ta-da! And the long pause kicks in. Fine, be that way. We'll be back next week with more movie news and stuff and whatever the hell was on this show. I'm not sure anymore.
What long pause? I applauded.
Eventually.
I drink your milkshake.
Ah, there we go. Good night, everybody.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
I drink it all up.
I'm putting that in the end of the show.
Darn, that's the end.